Welcome to Course in Miracles.
Thank you. Yeah.
A couple of new faces. Hi, Mike. Hey, Jill.
Hi.
Miracle has happened already.
Miracle Jill's here.
I think we should have a moment of silence because Jill's here.
She's about texting.
Those are my notes.
So to start with, the idea for tonight popped in my head. This is usually one word. It's behind any one word, because it's a symbol, is all that you will put on it. Is all that it will mean to you, how you use it. This is a pretty big one. This particular word is sharing. What does it mean to share? What does it mean to share? So we'll just think about that. Just think about that for 5 to 10 minutes.
Beyond the checkbook.
Yeah. New tennis girl.
He's a joke.
Would you turn the light off for us, please?
The tennis girl, Barbara. Tennis girl.
What does it mean to share? What does it feel like when you want to share? What does that feel like? Does sharing involve receiving? What is it like to share an idea? What happens with that idea when it's shared? And what does it feel like when you don't want to share? What does that feel like? Thank you. Now again, what does it feel like when you want to share? You can't wait to share. You'd like to share double. Mm-hmm. What does that feel like? What is happening when you share time? What is happening when you share time? To an idea when it's shared. What do you have to share if you if you think you have nothing? What does it feel like when you want to share? When you're ready, could you go take that?
That was a little sweet journey.
Do we need this one?
Or you want to leave it off for a little while?
Sure. It's kind of annoying up there.
It is, isn't
These
it?
These are just perfect.
But it's great for reading for that whole side of the
reading.
Room.
Oh, reading. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
The light is annoying. Is that what I heard?
Well, I have a light sensitive eye from radial keratotomy, so that light is talking
right
to me.
Gotcha.
So,
did you want to change seats?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Indeed, indeed. What is sharing? Does everybody here get to the point where you can feel that desire to share? Do you remember
feeling
something?
It so strongly in that journey that we took together. Mm-hmm. It was so expansive that it couldn't be contained in my heart. It was like this love that was just so expansive and extending. Mm-hmm. And then I realized this love is definitely not in this little figure called Wendy that's this big. It's like it was just like overflowing. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful. And then you asked about does somebody need to receive it? I thought about that and realized, no, I just experienced the effects of the loving feelings that I was feeling as a result of extending, irregardless of what was happening out there. I got to experience the beauty of the effects of my own love. Mm-hmm. And I was just basking in it. And then when she said, what's it feel like to you? not share, something like that. I felt like all this contraction. I was so happy when you went back to, because I was like really experiencing it viscerally.
Expansion was occurring with the idea of sharing, comfortable, desirable.
I felt like I was in love or something. It was like very loving. Mm. But it was just my love that I was in. Mm.
And what a contrast when we go when it feels like not, we don't want to share. Mm. Wow, that has like edges.
Shrinking down like shh.
I didn't see the not sharing. I was looking at it as an opening and closing, being open to the universal truth, the sharing, and being closed down to that energy. You know, and I didn't look at the not sharing as being bad. You know, it was just the state of being. And then I looked at sharing as an ego mind, which had all these other parts of attachment of reciprocity, and the merging had a goal. So I took sharing as a merging of energies, and it had a goal or an outcome desired. I really just like being open to it. And then I thought, it's like, wait a second, we're all sharing the air in this room. We're all sharing each other's energy. We're all sharing all the time. Our whole life is about sharing. So I just broke it into just ego and then just energy.
One of the things you said was sharing this open, the universal truth, you said, to the truth.
Just being with them.
Can we share a lie?
We have mutual agreement to share that lie.
What can you say about a lie?
Can you share a lie? Can you share something that's false?
Oh.
Can you share something that's false? You know, versus something that is true.
I think so. I think the same power that we have, we could use in our ego mind or to use in the spirit mind. Uh-huh. It's the same power. It depends on which mind we're listening to.
Yeah, sometimes if somebody shares a lie, it's still a gift.
Yeah.
For the person who's listening to the lie.
Usable?
It's not about being usable or not. It's about more just not being in the ego of attaching or wanting. I noticed my mind was saying, when, do you want to share? What was it?
What does it feel like you want to share?
When you want to share. I was like, for me, I was like, I feel like ego. Because you're wanting to share. Versus like, when I'm sharing and it's not from ego, there's no want there. It just flows out. There's no desire one way or the other. It just is.
Yeah, there's no trying when it just flows. It's not like you're making an effort.
Yeah, and then when I don't share, there's no trying there either. And it's there's just no ego one way or the other. It's just, we just are.
Yeah, I like that, looking at the ego's desire to share versus a spontaneous sharing that really can't be stopped. And Wendy supports that with, I don't even need somebody to be there. I can share without a recipient.
Yeah,
this is so spontaneous, it's so overflowing, it's so present.
I could send love to somebody and feel the effects of it.
So,
you know, when Sean mentioned about the ego sharing, I just thought about it. When ego shares, it's like there's attachment of like, I give and then I get something back. That's the ego's kind of contract. It's like, you give to get, as opposed to spirit, where it's just this, it's so delicious to, when you taste the spirits giving, because the more you extend, the more you want to extend, because mm-hmm. those delicious fruits that come back of the spirit, of feeling, just bathing in this joy, mm-hmm. it's just you just want to do it more and more. But the ego's way, our whole life, is we give to get, and, you know, strings attached, and, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, there's needs attached, and acceptance, or, mm-hmm. you know, some
yeah.
kind of thing
good
attached
contrast.
To it.
Good contrast. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got schooled on that. That was nice. I was sharing could be the receiving. Mm-hmm. I so have, like, I had somebody say, please accept my help, let me do that for you. Mm-hmm. My gift is the receiving of that. Mm-hmm. That was the sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Sharing denote separation.
Mm. Yeah. Does sharing denote separation? So I think that when we talk about it as from the ego perspective, then we are having something to giving it to somebody who doesn't have it. So now I'm cutting part of what I have and I'm sharing it with you. I have half, you have half. I have less, but I wanted to give you half. That would be separation.
Mm. And we're living in separation.
Absolutely. All the time, 100%.
So.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we go up the ladder a bit, what we talked about here, there's a type of sharing that doesn't involve any kind of division. Mm-hmm. Where we aren't actually taking some, I'm taking, oh, you can have this one, I'll keep this one. But there's not a separation. Now we're sharing something, like I say, can you share something if you have nothing? That leads us into the infinite sharing of things like, say, patience, open-mindedness. I will give you my open mind. Please explain to me how you're feeling or what you're thinking. Mm. Wow. Nice. I got lots of that. I don't lose anything.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Or when you share an idea. I won't cut to the chase of what. How many things are ideas? Okay, I'll leave that to your imagination for a moment. What happens when we share an idea?
It increases.
It increases. If the idea is received and it's echoed back, what happens to this idea? I share an idea with you, your eyes open up, and you bring it back to me.
Expound it.
Wow.
Grow it.
Grow, expounded. Mm-hmm. Comes along
all the way back and forth.
Yes. Being touched by your mind, by my mind, by your mind, it becomes stronger. It starts to become more real. Because it's shared. Yeah. What are you doing? When you're sharing time. What happens when you're sharing time?
You're imagining
a teaching device.
There is no time.
You're dreaming because there is no time. Just I'll have none of that, he says. Dick, what time is it?
I have no
oh,
idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't.
It's now. That's what time it is. It's now.
That's right. This moment.
My brother-in-law made watches that said, you know, now. 12 nows.
I love that.
He was giving them out.
I love that. That's what my dog says. We ask what time it is. It's like now. The moment.
How free is
that's
that?
All there is. But Scooter.
It's always dinner. Dinner. Is it your house?
It always did it. So.
What's happening when you're sharing time?
What's that like? Yeah, it like, doesn't work with the course, though. Because time is not. So in our mind, made up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Course says time is the wildest invention the ego has. Course also says that we're now going to
about the moment?
Fix that.
We're gonna reassign your use of time. We're gonna use your time now for a much better purpose. Of course, says the purpose of the miracle is that you don't waste time. See, we're so drunk on time here. Yes, there's no time. Yes, that's absolutely true. And yes, all of us here got here on time. We all know when the meeting started. We know when it stopped. We know when our job starts tomorrow. We know what time our favorite TV show is on.
What time our tennis game is.
Uh-huh. We know how much time we have left to live, roughly. Each of us knows. Every once in a while you calculate, I got this many years to go. So, yes, there is no time. And yes, we live with time. We're drunk on it. We're absolutely sold. It's become part of our identity of what we think we are and how much we have left. Mm. Of course, the miracles is here to correct that.
That's like a feeling coming from lack.
Yes.
Because we're eternal, but we're buying into something that's not real.
Uh-huh. And that runs out.
And that it could run out, and that there's death, and that there's an end, and a beginning.
Death and time are very tightly linked.
And space.
Yeah. Space. What does it mean to share? Right? You got more on that?
More?
Well, your time.
Is that
time
enough?
Thank you, wise one. It is enough. Forgive me for asking.
He has earned the privilege to say that after.
He has.
After studying this for a century.
Still don't know anything.
So what he's saying is time and space. If you share time, often we're also sharing space.
Yeah.
Space and time become quite interlinked. Chapter 1 of this book cuts right away into this space and time congruity. Mm-hmm. And then it sort of eases off. I think he got started and he says, well, I got a lot of great things to say. I better ease up. And by the time he gets to chapter 5, he eases up. By chapter 10, he's starting to get down to a single concept per paragraph or so.
Now, if the ego brought this system into being, mm-hmm. with these two components, you would think he'd be smart enough to not allow lies. Huh?
What?
Lying.
Yes. Isn't time a lie?
Yes, it's a lie.
Okay, so.
But also what is said is a lie. What is shared is a lie.
Yes. Yes.
So, who slipped up on that one?
Nobody. It was intentional. The ego can accomplish its task as long as lies are believed, shared first, attempt to share concepts and so forth, then believed, then trusted, and then acted upon with faith.
Institutionalized,
written,
teachers from
required, and punished if somehow not obeyed. Yeah, that's the world. That's the world we live in.
We have to accept the denial of truth in order to believe the dreams or the illusions that we're creating every day in our lives. We have to believe in the denial of the truth. Mm-hmm.
So let's call them all lies.
It's called what?
Let's call it all lies. What happens?
I think it is because I am not sure that I am capable of remembering a damn thing even an hour ago or 100 hours ago.
Yes.
If I try to remember point by point, action by action, I have to spoof it.
A good liar requires a good memory.
That's right.
One who tells the truth does not require any memory at all.
So I'm separated, I'm a liar, and I mess up my memory. So there's definitely some work to be done. Right?
So what happens if you start sharing your lies with everybody? What happens to those lies?
It gets spread around.
And then what happens? What do you think is going to happen to these lies? These are false ideas.
Yeah.
What happens to Sherilyn?
They start believing in it?
Okay, maybe. Yeah, some will, absolutely. Yeah. Others will know they're not true.
Start a new church.
But we know lies are lies because they're not true. Yeah, yeah, but lies are lies because they're not true.
Yeah.
So it'll be a contrast.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
what happens to false ideas when they're spread around?
They don't last. They never last.
There's a schism, they don't last.
Anything that's real lasts, is eternal, but that's the definition of something that's unreal. It does not last. So yes, it's a fleeting moment, a situation, and then it's gone. It's, that's how we know when something isn't real, because it doesn't last.
That's right. It starts to fall apart because it's not true. It will come across. Eventually, you spread it around and try it and use it. You start. You can't live your life in a lie for very long.
It'll change, because the only thing that's changeless is what God created.
It will just start to fall apart because it doesn't have the strength of truth. This is why we're all here. We're all here saying, "I believe." Well, I'm here to say, "Well, let me start putting more truth in my life so that I can live with that and by that." Because so far, what I have found. Is to move away from the lies.
You certainly can't get it, steal it, or borrow it from this situation that we have. Right?
We need a guide. It needs to be different. What I've been telling myself before. When I start leading myself toward truths or things that are lasting, reliable, that I can share and share without proof. If you lie...
You need to defend it.
Nobody else knows. You made it up. So you need to defend it. You need to kind of support it and give reasons.
Document it.
Maybe raise your voice a little bit. And now it becomes taken, right? The person says, all right, you said so. Seems important to you, okay. This is the kind of way we talk about lies, or things that we're not certain of. We tend to push them.
You have to uphold them. It's sort of like...
Mm-hmm. Now, when I ask you what day it is, that's right, we have to uphold it.
You
right.
have to uphold it where
and maintain
truth
it.
Is and never needs to be defended.
And truth will be rediscovered if you choose not to hold it up. It's still there. It will be rediscovered by you or by whoever is looking in this area.
Beautiful. I see what you want.
Yeah. That's not the case with lies.
Remove the blocks of the awareness to love, and those blocks are removed. The truth, it's like the veil is lifted and the truth is there.
That's right.
It always was there, we just didn't see it because we forgot who we were or whatever.
Yes, you don't have to go create love because this is a truth.
I used to look for it all the time. Yes. Till I found me.
Uh-huh. So you're sharing an illusion.
Yes.
Before you get to the truth.
Yes.
I don't know.
You try.
I was, me and a friend went out the other day, and let's go share an illusion. We went out to the corner bar. We had a blast. Until we found the truth.
There's no problem. There's no problem with sharing illusions. Okay.
There's another thing you haven't said about sharing. For me, when you first mentioned it, I immediately thought of sharing for me is a matter of teaching. It's an opening and a matter of I would like to share with someone. So that's...
Yeah.
And what's the matter with that?
Nothing at all. See, the honest sharing, when we're sharing of our truth, when it's received by us, you know, we actually receive what we're giving.
Yeah,
you're the first receiver of your gift. The Course says that the law of love is as you give, you receive. And it's not that you're going to get something back like a price, you know, like a payment. It's as you share, whatever it is you're sharing, is your belief. You are now receiving the immediate effects on you of what it is you are sharing, because this is what you're teaching. You are showing to yourself what you believe is real, is valuable.
Without anything said.
Does it need words? That is correct. You can share an illusion, and you can share it with great passion and energy, and people go along with it. There's a whole industry that does this.
Hitler did.
It's called Hollywood. Hollywood makes illusions one title at a time. It'll get a name, and you get certain people to act in it, and then you pay for it at the theater or for the DVD, and you've purchased the illusion. So you can share it. Mm. You willfully want to share the illusion and get a good laugh out of it. Or a good cry, or a good scare, or a good drama. Mm-hmm. I love movies. I got a lot.
I love movies.
Me too.
It's great. I make my own dream movies every day. And I pick the characters in my life to play in the roles, and who should do this, who should do that. And I make up the whole thing every day when I live my life.
Nice.
And I'm the director, the writer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm so talented.
Yes, and the hero. And the hero. You're also
and
a star.
I can be the hero, the dream, or the victim.
Yeah.
Depending
on the victim's often the hero. You know.
I got tired of the victim.
That's the way these stories happen.
I'm done with that one.
Mm-hmm. Aren't these great movies in Hollywood? You got a victim, usually. You got someone who wins and one who loses. They win in the end in some, and they lose badly in others. We can share these illusions.
Was that Johnny Weissmuller when you were doing this? Could be.
Okay, I guess it could be.
God, I'm probably one of three people that got that reference.
Yeah, let's see.
You'd be the only one.
Very good.
Was he a swimmer though?
Yeah, he's an Olympic swimmer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's. But what was?
Yeah. And then he became Tarzan.
So you have shared an idea about this man, and we all know who Tarzan is. Now we have he's the actual human being who was an Olympic swimmer. We just shared that idea. Wow, that idea just grew.
Yeah.
It became usable. Right or wrong, became usable. This is the power of sharing. And the concept is so powerful and essential to everything that is good and everything that is bad. And it's not to be ignored. We recognize that what you share, what you choose to share, believe me, you're sharing all the time. If you're angry, you are sharing.
If you're hungry.
Yep. And if you're feeling very, very happy, you're sharing too. A smile is contagious. It can be seen from a long way away.
Yeah.
It's sharing.
Can be heard too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You share your yawn. He's sharing his yawn.
So every thought in my mind, I'm sharing all the time because I'm experiencing my intention, and I don't have to say it in words, but I'm sharing, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't have to express it. And if I'm not seeing you as innocent. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm judging you, I could have that thought in my mind and I'm sharing it, good or bad, and then I get to experience the effects of my thoughts.
Yes.
But the Course says the thought never goes beyond the point of origin.
So I get to experience the effects of my thoughts.
And that's all there is, so.
Yeah, it's inside job. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I remember that vividly about the Course says, the world doesn't share one thought. It doesn't go from one person to the next to the next to the next. Oh. Otherwise, we'd all be done. Nobody would be teaching. No.
Good point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all think the same thing, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That
might be better than what we're doing.
No more Democrats and Republicans.
Oh,
we all won this. We'd all be having a love fest.
There you go.
But then things initiate with thoughts, too. And I think maybe that's what you're referring to. When you initiate, action initiates from thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even though you're not sharing your thoughts, a thought over time,
that's what I'm saying, yeah.
You know, can lead to an action in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody is getting angry and I'm standing there and I'm watching them and I'm seeing them as love and knowing that's not who they really are and seeing their innocence and just keep looking at them beyond, you know, mm-hmm. what they're expressing and the outer part of it, I really feel that they can eventually a part of them will sense the experience of the love, because a part of them, because they really are love, they just, that was just mm-hmm. a block. Mm-hmm. So I think that by me holding that intention, I think that could be experienced, mm-hmm. don't you think? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It will be.
But that contradicts the thing about thoughts never leave their source. But we're all one. So I'm seeing this person as, I know this person is not, this is not who they really are. They're really mm-hmm. love, even though they're angry and upset. And I'm seeing them as perfectly whole and loving and innocent while they're expressing that. Mm-hmm. Because they're me, we're one, they mm-hmm. they can experience the love, they can feel my loving presence, right?
Yeah, what you were doing is you'll be teaching mm-hmm. via peace. Mm-hmm. And they won't maybe use the same words or whatever you say, we'll go right through them, but when you are peaceful, that is a communication, and it is aligned with what is true.
Okay, so teach, it's not that they're feeling the love that I'm sending.
Oh, right.
It's just that they're sensing my peacefulness, which drops their defensiveness. And then mm-hmm.
they'll start to feel their love, which they are. See, the Course says, teach only love, for that is what you are.
And it wasn't associated with your thought.
Thank you.
Okay, that was a differentiating response in the thought. So you were just giving peace.
So words that do come out of our mouth are
sharing,
yes. But I just keep on going back to something I read where the word became flesh.
Yeah,
we're the Bibles.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying it's just something
let's
that
talk about
this spirit.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
From the desire to be separate.
It's still spirit.
And trying to enforce that desire. Yeah,
I don't know. Just,
words. Of course, words are symbols of symbols, and thus twice removed from reality. You have a word, and it's what you think it means, and now you will say it to her, and then she'll take your word and what she thinks it means, and then she'll take what she thinks you thought it meant, mm-hmm. modify it with what she thinks it can mean, and go from there.
And be very confused.
Yes, it gets very confusing. There's symbols of symbols, and we're getting further and further away.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's why it's like when people communicate about heartfelt things on emails, I'm like, God, now we're really getting in trouble. Because, I mean, just being in each other's presence or talking, and, you know, my perception, your perception, you know, seeing it from your point of view, my point of view, that's enough to have misunderstanding, let alone, mm-hmm. you know, through technology, you don't hear the tone of the voice and the
mm-hmm. and emotion comes,
the inflection, yeah. and you know what they're
probably the cleanest communication we have is the emoticons.
Yeah,
that's a smiley face, and that one isn't. An exclamation point. Okay, so
let's
jump into tonight's reading, because on special relationships, and sharing is a part of all relationships. It's critical. So let's take a look. Now, there's so many of us that weren't here last week. In fact, any of the weeks. So yes,
now, wait a minute now.
Let's go ahead and read this whole section out loud, just to get us all in the same room. And this is page 332, chapter 16, is called The Power of Holiness in the Text. And in the course, the numbers start over three times. So this isn't the first time it says 332. Page 332 in the text.
Are we getting an award or something for repeating this section?
Yeah, this is a record. It's a record for that.
What?
Yeah, it is. It is.
All right.
332. Carol, do you want to begin? It is all over this chapter and the next. Mm-hmm.
You may still think that holiness is impossible to understand because you cannot see how it can be extended to include everyone. And you have been told that it must include everyone to be holy. Concern yourself not with the extension of holiness, for the nature of miracles you do not understand, nor do you do them. It is their extension, far beyond the limits you perceive, that demonstrates you do not do them. Why should you worry how the miracle extends to all the sonship when you do not understand the miracle itself? One attribute is no more difficult to understand than the whole. If miracles are at all, their attributes would have to be miraculous, being part of them.
There is a tendency to fragment and then to be concerned about the truth of just a little part of the whole. And this is but a way of avoiding or looking away from the whole to what you think you might be better able to understand. For this is but another way in which you would still try to keep understanding to yourself. A better and far more helpful way to think of miracles is this. You do not understand them, either in part or in whole. Yet they have been done through you. Therefore, your understanding cannot be necessary. Yet it is still impossible to accomplish what you do not understand. And so there must be something in you that does understand.
To you, the miracle cannot seem natural, because what you have done to hurt your mind has made it so unnatural that it does not remember what is natural to it. And when you are told what is natural, you cannot understand it. The recognition of the part as whole and of the whole is every part is perfectly natural, and of the whole
in
every part is perfectly natural. For it is the way God thinks, and what is natural to Him is natural to you.
So, Sean, just for kicks, reread that whole sentence.
God, I can barely read. My eyes just, they're just getting old.
Glasses.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
I'd love to share. All right.
Yay, good one. And we all appreciate it. To you, the miracle cannot seem natural, because what you have done to hurt your mind has made it so unnatural that it does not remember what is natural to it. And when you are told what is natural, you cannot understand it. The recognition of the part as whole and of the whole in every part is perfectly natural. God, I'm having a really hard time reading that. For it is the way God thinks, and what is natural to Him is natural to you.
Now, Sean, that is one of the more powerful sentences in the Course. So it's no mystery that your ego is going to try to wrap this up. And you're reading it just fine.
Really having...
We spent some serious time on that sentence some weeks ago because it's really important and it's a very generous, generous statement.
This one that starts with the recognition.
This one that says the recognition of the part as whole. Mm-hmm. I've already got a contradiction in terms to the
ego. Because the part is not whole.
Because a part means it's a part. It's a piece, right?
Yeah.
It's not complete. That's what part means to the ego. The recognition of the part as whole, comma, and the whole in every part.
Okay, so like, for me, the only way I could see it is an analogy like the ocean. The part in the whole is like the waves in the ocean. Mm-hmm. The ocean is the whole, mm-hmm. and the waves are a part of the ocean. The part is part of the whole. Mm-hmm. And then the other way, the whole, the ocean, mm-hmm. in every part. Every part of the waves contains the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't the air, the other half of it?
And some birds.
They have that, they have...
So you have the wave in its own, on its own, the wave rises from the ocean, into the air, rolls,
precipitation,
breaks and all that. So the wave is a wave. It's a whole wave.
It's a whole and complete.
Where's the wax?
Huh?
Where are the wax?
You want to try sand instead? So how about sand? So you take a beach out there, Santa Cruz, and you take one grain of sand out of that beach. That grain is a whole grain of sand. It's complete as a grain of sand. Mm-hmm. It is indeed part
about waves and
wax. Oh, waxing and waning?
Waves.
So this is part of the beach. Yeah. So the sand is defined by the whole.
Mm-hmm. Good analogy.
Nice, I like that analogy.
The whole is not defined by the
grain
part.
Of sand.
By the parts. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the part is indeed complete. It is whole.
So that's what the sentence is saying. I love sometimes those analogies. They help. That was really good. Mm-hmm.
This is how God thinks.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
It's how can we reconcile. Peaceful.
I was just thinking about this joke.
Yeah.
About why cavemen drag their old ladies by their hair.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
It was there. It's all there.
No, it's just a sand deal. It was just...
Because it puts sand in their hair, of course.
Yeah, of course.
I'm tracking here. Okay. All right. So it's a great sentence. It deserves a wonderful... It's worth meditating on. If you're just looking for something for a morning meditation, let that one swim in your head for a little while. It is a very generous, generous thought to you.
And we're that grain of sand that is whole and complete.
Uh-huh.
In the mind of God.
Right? Yes.
That we're not missing anything.
Mm-hmm. Is that what holographic means? That it is a part, but it's invisible.
Yes, the holographic.
Holographic.
That the part, you can see the whole through the part. Okay. The whole is contained in the part. Yeah.
With
I like
part.
Holographic, though. We're going to have to start using that
one.
That's a compliment. You are the most holographic person I've ever met. I can see holiness in you. I can see the whole of holiness in you. Yeah. I love
it's a semantic seminar.
So
that is my new favorite word.
We're a thought in the mind of God, right? We're a thought in the mind of
yes.
God. So we're that perfect part that's complete and whole.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You come from wholeness. You're an extension of wholeness. How could you not, therefore, be whole?
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
You are, teach only love, for that is what you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have a lot to discover with this little sentence. So it's so significant, Sean. It's a lot to discover with that little sentence.
Yeah.
Let's continue, though. We're actually on paragraph 7. What later?
Holy natural perception would show you instantly that order of difficulty in miracles is quite impossible, for it involves a contradiction of what miracles mean. And if you could understand their meaning, their attributes could hardly cause you perplexity.
Yes. I don't know. That's why I'm perplexed.
Yes. Yes. It does unravel.
But of course.
Let's continue.
You have done miracles, but it is quite apparent that you have not done them alone. You have succeeded whenever you have reached another mind and joined with it. When two minds join as one and share one idea equally, the first link in the awareness of the sonship has been made. When you have made this joining as the Holy Spirit bids you, you have offered it to Him to use as He sees fit. His natural perception of your gift enables Him to understand it and you to use His understanding on your behalf. It is impossible to convince you of the reality of what has clearly been accomplished through your willingness while you believe that you must understand it, or else it is not real. So the thing about truth is you don't have to believe it, see it, or anything for
yes.
it to be true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is the power of the whole. The whole exists, and the power of the ocean is supporting the wave. The wave does not need to understand the ocean to be the wave. But by goodness, the ocean will carry that wave and allow it to exist and produce more waves, if so called.
So it doesn't matter, even if we don't, at times we don't feel supported by the universe or whatever.
Yeah.
We always, we always are.
Yes.
And it's always there. That's really comforting. Even in our times when we don't feel that way, we know that's not the truth.
Beautiful, Wendy.
Like, it's so nice to be wrong.
What's the title of this section?
The power of holiness. What a coincidence.
Wow. You're over there channeling it right now. You're like, oh, this could be powerful.
What a coincidence.
That was beautiful.
Yes, thank you. Let's continue.
How can faith in reality be yours while you are bent on making it unreal? And what are you...
Could you read that sentence again? It's really important.
Okay.
You read it perfectly. It's really important.
How can faith in reality be yours while you are bent on making it unreal?
You're bent.
And are you really safer in maintaining the reality of illusions than you would be in joyously accepting the truth for what it is and giving thanks for it? Honor the truth that has been given you and be glad that you do not understand it. Miracles are natural to the one who speaks for God. For his task is to translate the miracle into the knowledge which it represents and which is hidden to you. Let his understanding of the miracles be enough for you, and do not turn away from all the witnesses that he has given you to his reality.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. And I promise, Dick, we won't go over and over this next sentence.
Oh boy, we've done that.
We've done this.
It's a hell of a sentence.
This is okay. Okay, Mario, bring it.
Okay. No evidence will convince you of the truth of what you do not want. Your relationship with him is real. Regard this not with fear, but with rejoicing. The one you called upon is with you. Bid him welcome and honor the witness who brings you the glad tidings. He has come. It is true, just as you fear, that to acknowledge him is to deny all that you think you know. But what you think you know was never true. What gain is there to you in clinging to it and denying the evidence for truth?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, please reread those last two sentences.
Have this whole section highlighted.
Yeah, 7 and 8.
But what you think you know was never true. What gains is there to you to cling to it and deny the evidence for truth? Mm-hmm. For you have come too near to truth to renounce it now, and you will yield to its compelling attraction. You can delay this now, but only a little while. The host of God has called to you, and you have heard. Never again will you be holy?
Holy.
Holy.
Never again will you be wholly willing not to listen. You can't go backwards. This is a one-way
trip.
That's
a promise. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good news. It says you can delay. And that's what we're doing.
This is so hopeful to me. This
part. All of us have been exposed to the power of truth. I think that's why we've come to this room and we carry this big book. Because it touched you somewhere, somehow. You were touched and you said, oh, well, I'm going for more of that.
That's going to torment you forever.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny to say, but the Course says that of itself.
It does not stop.
The Course says that it's a new source of depression.
Yeah, no, just what I needed. What?
Yeah.
What page is
it
set up on?
It does. It does.
It's just like taking another pill.
Yeah, what page?
I can pull it out for you.
Okay. But, my job is enough.
Yeah. Because it's just what I need.
But get this. The reason why it says that is because with this book, you come to discover that you're responsible for what you think, what you feel, what you remember, and how you look at the world and yourself. There's no place else to look anymore. Of Course in Miracles under your belt, you really can't look out and say, he did it to me. He's the reason I'm unhappy. That goes away with this teaching and learning. In fact, awoken in you is some of the happiest moments of your life when you discover you're not a victim, you can't be a victim, that you alone rule your mind. Nobody can come in and give you a thought. Nobody can come in and change your mind for you. So you have the gifts you give yourself. If you give yourself anger, you get it. You're going to be angry. You're going to feel it. You're going to share it. You're going to prove it. If you give yourself happiness, give yourself peace, give yourself patience, let's say. Let's pick patience, okay? Maybe you're not ready for peace and happiness. But a lot of times, you're willing to be patient. You're willing to give it a little time. When you do that, you instantly receive that. It didn't come from outside. It didn't come because the clock started to move slower. You gave yourself this gift. And when you recognize that it's you, you're the source of that break, that little meditation Sean just did. That's a pretty happy moment.
That goes for everything.
Yeah.
And how much more of it is there?
Nothing.
How much more power do you have?
Everything is in there.
How much more gifts do you have to give yourself if you can give that one in the worst moment of your life?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's funny you said that. That last week, I wasn't here last week, the following week, remember I was having my little ordeal?
Oh, yes.
And I walked out of here with a choice of just, you know, do it in love?
Yes.
I fought with it. Mm-hmm. And I know that was the best answer because of my coming here.
Mm.
You know, and it's still unfolding.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I'm glad I did it that way because I was in a real hard decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's still unfolding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because this other way was just, it was ugly.
Yes.
It was just...
And decisions are doubly hard when we have no guide.
Yes.
No guide.
Oh. No guide. There you go. Yeah. I didn't feel alone. I did not feel alone.
Yeah.
And I kept on asking for that buddy of mine, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Just guide me.
Yes.
And so, and he still guided me, and it's just weird.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
It's not weird, but I mean, it's just...
You got it.
Except the difference.
Yep. He walks with you.
Yeah. So, thank you.
Yep.
You're
welcome.
So you're able to go through the same situation and feel more peaceful
about
it?
Just don't throw them out.
Yeah. No. I mean, it doesn't. You're doing
double
what
peace.
You're doing, but you could do doing it with peace rather than
with. I'm doing it
with
love.
Fear,
I'm doing
anxiety.
It with the true love of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the other way was just total murder and maybe getting murdered at the same time. And the thing was, this was just totally like, wow. Is there a chance he might come back? But not now. But you know, but the thing is, I'm doing it in a way where it's just like the love part. Just
beautiful.
It's just like it proves his class.
I'm really happy.
Yes,
that
nice.
It proves his understanding. And it proves this
beautiful.
How everything that's coming about in this.
That builds my faith. Hearing the
oh
end
God,
of his story.
It was. I don't know. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria.
Thank you. That fills my faith by hearing your story.
Well, the thing is, I had that choice, and I was angry. I was on fire. I wasn't going to come here that day, and I'm glad I did because it actually it was a place that I was, you know, I was asking for it, and I was asking for, how do you do this?
Show me another way.
Yeah,
you had that little willingness.
You see, he's still showing me. That's the whole thing. It's just like it hasn't ended. It's just like more to this. There's help.
That little willingness.
Yeah.
That little pause.
All you needed was a little willingness for that window to be open for Holy Spirit, for that quietness, for him to guide you instead of your ego. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
The ego will fill every single thought you have, every moment, will answer all your questions. The ego will give you the ego answers, and you'll have them immediately.
You know what? This one sentence, number 6, is so true. No evidence will convince me of the truth of what I do not want.
Yes.
Like, if I want to believe something, whatever I'm thinking, I'm going to, whatever I look out there, I'm going to find what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. What climate change?
And it's so true. It's like, you know, and I tried it the other way, and it's like, well, when you changed your mind about what you thought, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, I saw it out there. Mm-hmm. So no evidence will convince you of the truth if you're not choosing to see it that way. If you mm-hmm. want to see it, yeah. you know, the other way.
It's because of what you are.
You're going to see what you're thinking.
Yes.
And you're going to, every thought you have is what you're creating in your life.
Do you know you are creating?
I have to be careful. Every thought I have is what I'm creating. Every experience I'm creating in my life is from a thought that mm-hmm. I have. Mm-hmm. I mean, when that yeah. hit me. Yeah.
When yeah. I started first reading the Course in Miracles, I went through depression. Mm-hmm. The whole thought that the world was not created by God. Mm-hmm. It took me 4 years to make my peace with that. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't leave it alone because there was something that resonated so deeply. But I actually went through a depression about it. It made me, because I do see so much beauty in this world. Mm-hmm. So it really bothered me for mm-hmm. a very long time. Mm-hmm. And then I made my peace with it. I moved on.
Mm. Barbara, now you say you moved on. Have you found any strength from this idea that was so depressing?
I think I've just found strength from the entire Course in Miracles. I don't know that specific idea. Mm-hmm. I think parts of it. I think that the beauty that I see must mimic something far beyond, because I do see so much beauty and I continue to.
Mm-hmm. And the more we look, the more we find. Is that true of beauty?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The book's kind of like saying, welcome home. You know? It's inviting you back.
Uh-huh. Return to love. But you yeah. That's what got me there.
Yeah, that's what that's
the Marianne Williams' book. That's what got me to the Course.
Oh, she's going to be speaking here in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Rio. She's going yeah. to the Rio Theater. Mm-hmm.
Once you open that door, there's no going back.
Right.
Something just keeps knocking at you.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's it, Barbara. Yeah. Never again will you be wholly willing not to listen. The moment you open that door, in this case, let's just call it the beauty door. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's many ways we could phrase this, but this is a nice one. Mm-hmm. The moment you see beauty as showing up everywhere. It's easy in the flowers, it's easy in the sunset, it's easy in your children. And then it can get hard, right? And then sometimes. And then when you can get to this threshold, where you see this beautiful flower, and slowly it wilts, and the leaves drop off one by one, mm-hmm. and what was so colorful, yeah, it's not so nice, starting to smell. Gotta throw it out. Yeah, it's... When you see that beauty has extended into the death of this flower. What you're now allowing is the completion of beauty and not just tasting the frosting. Mm-hmm. That was when the colors were shining.
Beautiful.
Where did the flower come from? What had to die so the flower could look so nice yesterday? What bugs and other plants and bacteria and the more sewer in the soil, the better smells the rose. Isn't it true?
Yeah, more fertilizer.
The more dead things went into that soil, the more beautiful the rose comes from it.
Wow.
It's true. We just can't see the beauty in the rose extending to the rest of the rose.
So just seeing the beauty in everything without judgment, right?
Right.
Like not just the sunset,
yes.
But you know,
What enabled the sunset?
What enabled
the rose?
The gases in the sky and the pollution and the right, whatever, yeah, whatever it is, without judgment.
It's true.
Seeing the beauty, you know, not making anything special or judging.
I think one of the greatest gifts that a person can give to the world is to be unjudgmental, because when you're around someone like that, you get a complete and total healing just in their presence. Mm-hmm. You feel healed. Have you had that experience? Mm-hmm. When you really feel you're around someone who's very unjudgmental. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably one of the greatest gifts you can give back.
Mm-hmm. I'm into that.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's true of being.
That's the unconditional love that we're all wanting to experience.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we were hiking Pinnacles and we were looking at the rocks up the very top, and I think you and I were meditating on this rock as my brother. And I got it. Nice. First time I got it. Oh.
I did that on mushrooms.
What's going on?
We're all supposedly innocent.
So, we're all laughing. So
yeah, the ones who are laughing the loudest, yeah. So when you find the highest truths in the least things.
Interesting. Highest truths.
They are the most potent. Yes?
Profound.
Yes. And wide-reaching. If you all can stretch your mind with me to see that beautiful rose owes itself to the ugliness that surrounded it all of its life. It came out of the dirt and it's going back to the dirt. Where does the beauty start and stop, really?
In our mind, in our thoughts, in our judgments.
That's a judgment.
The rose just is. The dirt just is. There's no. It's all neutral. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's not neutral is our thoughts about it. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's bad.
Our
it's
perception.
Beautiful. It's ugly.
Mm-hmm. Our perception.
You got a perception.
So
that's right.
Wow.
That's right. Big term, Course in Miracles. Perception is one of the vectors that will lead you all the way in and out. That's right. Very good. Very
Thank
good.
You for helping me recognize that everything's happening between these two.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's not physically bordered, the mind that we're all working with. Now, I know I have a very large piece of it here, but no, actually, it's there's only one mind. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the physical body at all.
Mm. Yeah, mind is not brain.
Yeah, it's not brain.
In this
not
book.
Body.
Yeah,
mind is not body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yep. Important distinction.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Mind is not body. Yes.
It's our energy, yeah. Right? It's energy, right?
That was hard for me
thoughts.
To understand.
Yes, right. Mind is not your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mind is not your thoughts.
That's why your thoughts I don't think really can create your reality. Because your thoughts aren't real.
Just the reality that I'm believing.
The mind that he was talking about, the big mind. Yeah. It's already created. It's already done.
So
it's already happened.
Yeah, but the little thoughts. It's not
creating and they go because they're false.
It's not
they go.
Creating anything.
They come
not
and they go.
Not creating anything.
Mm-hmm. The little thoughts. They come and they go.
Not creating anything, right. But I could be living a miserable life because I'm believing what
yes.
I'm thinking.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
But she's right. I'm not creating because that's right. Innocence happen. And truth are unchanging. But yeah, but I could be very unhappy in my life and depressed. And suffering because, you know, I want some love out there that I think mm-hmm. I need to have to be filled in here or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because of what I'm believing, I'm suffering.
There's a lesson of good news in the workbook. It says, my mind holds only the thoughts I think with God. It's part of a review session.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll have you do this over and over as it reviews a group of the lessons. Mm-hmm. My mind holds only the thoughts I think with God.
Right.
It's really good news.
That's good.
Yeah. It's kind of the little M and the big M.
Yes.
Yeah, and the little T and the big T's, you know, mm-hmm. noticing the guidance. I don't know about you all, but when I really listen to my thoughts, you know, there really are not any that are...
Are they upside down?
There's just none that are really of truth.
Yeah.
You know.
They're upside down, backwards.
The truth usually comes from just a feeling of peace, and there's nothing that's yucking or... And also, my thoughts aren't moving me. I mean, I'm watching this. I've been watching this for a while, going, what is real? And then I'm like, watching the thoughts, going, they're not what comes first that moves me now. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll want to be first.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I just sit there with it long enough, it's like something else moves me, which is that big mind.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. it's not the thought that comes first. I used to think, oh, the thought comes first, and then I go. Mm-hmm.
That would get
it's the listening that comes first.
No. The loudest thought and the first thought I learned from Course in Miracles
hides behind the listening.
Is the ego. Because I used to put my mouth in gear with my first thought, I'd be in trouble. But I learned in Course in Miracles, the loudest thought and the first thought is when I shut up. Mm-hmm. And I just shut up because I know that I need to go to quiet. Mm-hmm. And say, I do not know.
Yeah.
And then I've learned what. And then what happened? I've learned with meditating is mm-hmm. what she said. All of a sudden, I don't hear this voice saying, "When do you do this?" But all of a sudden, I'm prompted mm-hmm. in a direction. Oh, I'm going to go to the nursing home and see so and so. Or I'm going to. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, and I feel this joy and expansion about a certain thing. And I just when I'm in my quiet, and then all of a sudden it guides me. But boy, I spent most of my life mm-hmm. getting myself in trouble just by listening to mm-hmm. my first thought, my loudest voice, and thinking, well, I've got to listen to listen to my own guidance. But that wasn't my own guidance.
Everybody here can track ego. With Wendy, what Wendy and Geraldine are talking about, mm-hmm. where you sort of, you get these, course calls them meaningless thoughts. And you spend time with them?
All day long.
All day long?
All day long. Yeah.
We got one honest person here. This is good. Barbara, could you pull that away from the door and open it, please?
I'll put two hands up for that. 99.9% of my thoughts are meaningless thoughts.
Yes, yes. So, because Holy this is what Geraldine has brought up, it's so much the way that we spend a lot of our time.
Nice place.
You know, starting with the first thing in the morning, these meaningless thoughts, just want to have us take a look. Keep your finger on this page, please. And flip about 300 pages to the right. And get yourself to the beginning of the workbook. And so if you want, turn it to get page. Get page 669 in the text. And then keep turning till we get to the table of contents.
Yeah. Where am I going?
Okay, so you're basically right in the middle of the book.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. Tell me what page number you see.
555.
Okay, keep turning till you get to 669.
669. Okay.
666 is the devil. Don't go there.
Only your thoughts.
The devil owns a page in this book. Workbook.
Lesson 44.
What I want you to do is I want you to go to the workbook for students, and this book has three books in it. The page numbers start three times, and four times in some of the newer books. So what I want you to do is just turn to the middle of the book and find the table of contents of the workbook for students.
About two pages past the 669.
What page?
Okay. Page triple I, right in the middle of the book.
So
right
you turn before, two pages after 669.
Before lesson one is the table of contents, and after the end of the text.
Review.
You turn that page.
Okay. And so.
And then here.
Yep, right there. You got it. Okay, so you should be looking at it says contents. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Anybody not there?
Not there.
Not there, Dick? Beginning of the work.
Contents.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
content here. You found the workbook, okay? I'm really glad. Okay, now, the guys had this book for like 25 years. Okay. All right, now.
I don't remember all that.
Okay, all right. Truth be told, we don't go there very often, do we? Yeah, okay, now. These are the Course in Miracles lessons. The book has this big, fat text. We were just in it. It's 669 pages, which is theory, and it's kind of like, you know, a college course with a bunch of lectures. We talk about fear, we talk about love, we talk about hate, pain, special relationships. And now we get practical with the workbook for students. Really practical. These lessons are hand-holding of the most generous type. These are the language of the Holy Spirit. And the lessons themselves will suggest to you what to do with each hour of your day, or at least once or twice a day, sometimes down to every 10 minutes, what the best use of your mind would be if you would like to see things differently, if you'd like to see peace instead of whatever you've been seeing before. These are lesson titles, I just said. So I just want to look, just because of Geraldine's comments, I just want to have us read through maybe the first group up until about 40 or so. We'll read the first 50. Just the lesson titles. Just the titles. We'll go around the room. Just read the lesson title and let the next person read the next. Where do we leave off with our reading?
Go next.
Great, please.
Okay, lesson one. How many of these do you want me to read?
Just the first one.
Okay. Nothing I see means anything.
Oh. And number two? The next person?
I have given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me.
Yeah, we'll stop there just for a second for the new people who haven't seen a lot of this. I have given everything I see all the meaning it has for me. That passes logic.
That's ego levels.
Even the ego has a hard time arguing that for very long. Very significant, these lessons. In the first one, you see, nothing I see means anything. Now, those are fighting words, right? What do you mean? Nothing I see means anything. Come on.
But then it explains it the next sentence.
It does.
And also makes you take responsibility for it.
Aha, uh-huh, yeah, right away.
Like, oh, yeah.
Right away.
Like, boom. Right back.
I give it everything I see, all the meaning it has for me. I think the Course in Miracles starts with the final lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes full circle by the time you've done them all. This book is a shortcut in a way that's like running. You won't skip any steps if you do this book right.
You won't skip 10,000 lines. But
you might be moving more quickly than if you're left in the hands of, well, you know, a lot of other ways. But there are many ways. Course says it's not the only way. You know, there's thousands and thousands of paths.
Thousands of truths.
Of course it's not the only way. But this is a good one. I like it. I think it's quite rapid.
It has a nice, to me, it's a really good shortcut.
It's quite radical. Okay, so let's continue with three. Mike.
I do not understand anything I see.
More fighting words. But when we look at, when we look at the, if you let your ego, you spend a little time with the lesson, in the book.
Could you imagine saying that to someone? You do not understand anything you see.
And I know.
That's it's fighting words.
Yeah, they are fighting words, right? They're fighting words. Okay, let's continue. Oh, yes.
It's to
Jacqueline. Yeah, sir.
Jacqueline.
Three, number five. Yeah, four. These thoughts do not mean anything.
Hey, boy, he's really throwing up his fist.
Now, what
here.
Thoughts
Man,
are they?
Man, you thrown this book out yet?
What thoughts are they?
These thoughts. These thoughts.
All
those
thoughts
don't mean anything.
All of these.
Yeah, yeah. All in the good, the good, and the kind.
You know, it's all the thoughts you're capable of having when you start this book. If you are still identifying with the body and trying to preserve it as your identity, is all you got? Yeah, all these thoughts.
Okay.
But now he continues. Now a little bit of good news comes in. And then.
I like the next one.
I am never upset for the reason I think.
Wow.
I am upset because I see something that is not there.
I see only the past.
Wow.
That is
busted. Ego.
Busted. Ego really can't argue with that very long.
I see only the past.
I see only the past.
Only my story.
I bring my story and all my past into the present and pee on it. Now, what's that expression? You put one leg in the...
Well, one leg in the past,
past
one leg in the future.
Leg in the future. Don't worry about the present. Yeah. That's I know it's kind of crude, but it's funny.
Yes. Okay, let's continue.
My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts.
Aha! Has anybody experienced that? When past thoughts seem to keep coming back?
Right.
The same thoughts you had yesterday are the ones you had last Friday? Are the ones you woke up with last month?
20 years ago.
Or 2 minutes ago.
Or 2 minutes ago, right. Again and again.
Or 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Four score.
Busted ego again.
They say that 80% of our thoughts
are repeated
every single day. Mm-hmm. 80% of the thoughts that we've had in the past.
Mm-hmm. How sad.
I'm starting to see. No, we get
impressed. No,
we get
to
see.
Yeah,
I agree. But I've seen it before, so I can.
I don't hear any arguments. I think we can move on. Let's continue.
I see nothing as it is now.
Whoa.
Ooh.
This becomes a very powerful lesson and a very sobering day.
That's fighting words.
My thoughts do not mean anything.
Yeah, those are fighting words.
Mm-hmm.
My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world.
Sounds like Congress.
My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless
world. All right, Carol.
Getting out of the
I am upset because I see a meaningless world.
A meaningless world engenders fear.
We've got some explanation going on here now. Mm-hmm. Geraldine.
God did not create a meaningless world.
Oh, thank God.
My thoughts are images that I have made.
Now we're taking responsibility.
I have no neutral thoughts. Mm-hmm. That means they're all judgments.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I see no neutral things.
Mm-hmm.
I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my seeing.
Mm.
I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts.
I am determined to see.
Right. That's the turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am determined to see things differently.
Mm-hmm. What I see is a form of vengeance.
I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts.
Wow.
Wow.
I do not perceive my own best interests.
That is
pretty honest.
How the hell would I know if I don't know anything? That's so obvious, isn't it?
You don't see anything as it is now. You're upset for the reason.
I don't have to read that. It just confirms it.
Uh-huh.
I do not know.
I do not know what anything is for.
And by this point, maybe they're not so much fighting words, but a glad surrender.
It's like, I'm so glad I was wrong.
If you made it this far, you don't really want to be in the driver's seat. What's that, Geraldine?
I'm just laughing because if you put you and you're doing like in a relationship and you're saying that to somebody,
yeah.
I'd love to try it sometime and see what happens.
I think you will.
I'll play that with you.
This could be interesting.
No special relationship.
Well, let's continue. Let's continue.
My attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability.
Wow.
Above all else, I want to see.
Yeah.
Above all else, I want to see things differently.
God is in everything I see.
God is in everything I see because God is in my mind.
I am not the victim of the world I see.
Wow. So we probably dipped into depression in the first several lessons here, but by now we're kind of lifting out. There's maybe some hope. This is good. Okay.
I've invented the world I see.
Aha.
There is another way of looking at the world.
I could see peace instead of this. Yeah. Nothing personal.
My mind is part of God's. I am very holy.
My holiness envelops everything I see. Mm-hmm.
My holiness blesses the world. Mm.
There is nothing my holiness cannot do. Mm.
My holiness is my salvation.
I am blessed as the Son of God.
God goes with me wherever I go. Mm.
God is my strength. Vision is His gift.
God is my source. I cannot see apart from Him.
God is the light in which I see.
God is the mind in which I think. God is the love in which I forgive.
God is the strength in which I trust.
There is nothing to fear.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Easier said than accomplished.
God's voice speaks to me all through the day.
It's like a chorus.
Five. Okay, very good. So that was just, every once in a while, it's kind of fun to do that.
These are all the lesson titles of all of every day. There's a lesson for 365 days. So we just went through part of the lesson titles, day one, two, three, all.
Mario, could you push the door closed?
Sure.
And then after.
Okay, so now, back on page 333.
That was really good.
Isn't that great?
Now you feel the shifting as you're unraveling.
Yeah. Yeah, you're really unraveling. The book meets you where you are. It asks you to participate, and very specifically, it asks you to participate honestly. And it will take the very specific during these lessons, you know, this table, this pencil, this shoe, and have you apply to it that I do not see this as it is now, for example. Or, I give this shoe all the meaning it has for me. And you start to look at the shoe and it's got a scuff on it. Or maybe it's a little thick sole. Or maybe it's dirty. And it has some meaning you've given it. You really start to feel that. It's brand new. Their meaning. Anyway, so it's so revealing.
It's special.
The course gently but specifically.
He said this shoe is holy.
It has a soul, doesn't it? Sorry.
That was so funny, Andrew.
Thank you very much. Okay, so let's see if we can grab this paragraph in the time we have remaining. Paragraph 7. Who's up to bat?
Oh, we gotta go back.
Page 333. 333.
We all hold our place.
Sharing a yawn.
I'm just releasing carbon dioxide.
Oh, yeah?
Just we're breathing light of the air.
Well, who's up to bat? Who's reading? Mario, you want to read for us?
Sure. This is a year of joy in which your listening will increase and peace will grow with increase. The power of holiness and the weakness of attack are both being brought into your awareness. And this has been accomplished in a mind firmly convinced that holiness is weakness and attack is power. Mm-hmm. Should not this be a sufficient miracle to teach you that your teacher is not of you, but remember also that whenever you listen to his interpretations, the results have brought you joy. Would you prefer the result of your interpretation, considering honesty what they have been? God wills you better. Could you not look with greater charity on whom God loves with perfect love?
Okay, this is a real... This is a call to love. This is a call to love. Would you not look with greater charity on whom God loves with perfect love? Remember this title of this section is The Power of Holiness.
The Power of
Yes.
And I just want to go back and just thank you for... You know, sharing that little bit, that last session we had, because It's what I used.
Nice.
And it was just like, wow.
Thank you. You're welcome, Mario. Thank you for bringing it. Okay, so now let's turn back and look at paragraph 7 a little more deeply. So it says, this is a year of joy.
Yeah.
And in which your listening will increase and peace will grow with your listening's increase. Now, in the previous paragraph, it ended with, never again will you be wholly willing not to listen. And this is because that if you're willfully going along and allowing this book to guide you, you will have an experience that it calls a holy instant. You will experience peace or a release of conflict, let's say, in the course of first stopping your mind from the ego running, allowing a shift in perception, because you've had a little bit of this is soaked in, and you decided not to attack, not to share your anger, let's say. You decided that there's something powerful in this whole idea of a miracle, that there is another way to look at this. These are the things that we practice to land on a miracle coming through us. These kind of these interrupting thoughts. Interrupting what? The ego. And you arrive at a shift in perception, okay? The shift in perception now does not see a need for attack. Conflict is not justified now because we move from the material measure, let's call it, to the spiritual reality. What?
In the mind.
Yep. We've moved away from the material. This is, after all, a spiritual meeting. And we will move from the addiction to the material to the spiritual reality. That's what a miracle is. It's the shift from one level to another. Mm-hmm. When that happens, and you can forgive. Now, forgiveness means you release the thought that some harm has been done. That's what forgiveness means in this book. There are about 20-some-odd words that have been redefined in this book. Miracles and forgiveness are among them. So some of this may sound a little strange. Now you forgive, you see, because carrying the idea that you need to defend or punish, make one guilty for what you thought happened, is just gone. Because you've moved it away from the material. See, guilt is in the material. Guilt is in form. Guilt can be measured, tracked, now it's got to be paid for because something was harmed. The miracle sees through all of that. And forgiveness is now the release of the thought that you were holding, that said there was guilt and punishment should follow. You let it go. And the good news is, for real forgiveness, you don't try. You don't have to try. Because the miracle released your mind from the reality of any harm done. Any harm could be done. There we land in the holy instant.
The most powerful message in the whole book, I think. The most powerful message.
Yes.
It's healing.
It's healing.
Mm-hmm. I want to repeat again what you said, just it took me 10 years to get it. Being a new student, I just want to make sure. There's one part of the forgiveness that I didn't get before, mm-hmm. and I got now, and it's just my whole life. What Andrew said, you already said it, but I'll say it again, is that with forgiveness, it's when you believe that what you thought happened did not happen, that you really were not harmed, and then you release and forgive it. But if you believe that somebody harmed you, and then you say, and then I say, oh, I forgive this person, you know, I return to God, return to love, and then you wonder why you keep feeling these bad feelings, it keeps coming up, keeps eating you up inside, because you haven't gotten the miracle. Without the miracle, you really don't have the true forgiveness, which is lasting. And you wonder, why isn't it working? Because if a part of you still believes that this person really harmed you, and they really did something to hurt you, then you haven't gotten the miracle. You haven't made the correction. Without the correction, there cannot be true forgiveness, and it's not going to be lasting. So you're going to feel really good when you see that person, like, oh, you know, he's my brother and we're one, and I'm thinking, and then it's going to keep coming back over and over again because you haven't corrected your mind. And that it only happened in the way you saw it happen. You haven't changed how you saw it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Wendy, beautifully said.
You said it, but I just want to make sure.
That's right. That the new everybody, of course, wants to skip straight to love. You know, let's go right to the nice part, right to forgiveness, and skip over all of the thoughts that were in place that made me afraid or angry. And this is, of course, leaving them intact. All the thoughts that made me afraid and angry are intact. They're left intact and operating and held in a box somewhere while I try to be peaceful and forgiving. Not exact the revenge from you that the law says I should get.
What has helped me a lot is to be really honest with myself about not denying the feelings that I was feeling that are not spiritual, that are not innocent, that are not, you know, not saying, oh, I shouldn't feel this. When I start to say I shouldn't feel this way because, of course, the miracles and stuff, then I never really dealt with the denial of those feelings, but I had to express, believe that, hey, you know, I'm really angry. I really believe that I was hurt. I had to experience that and not deny those, because if I skipped that, then I never really got through it.
Beautiful, Wendy.
Nice. It's just my spiritual ego trying to become enlightened.
Yes, yes. Beautiful, beautiful. So I just want to read this paragraph here once more to close the meeting. To feel some of this. So it says, the power of, this is paragraph 7, the sentence 2, the power of holiness and the weakness of attack. The power of holiness, good, the weakness of attack, also good to see, must both be seen, are both being brought into your awareness. And this has been accomplished in a mind firmly convinced that holiness is weakness and attack is power. What we're talking about is a reversal of the logic of the ego. A miracle, the shift in perception, is 180 degrees the other way from the thinking of the world. The world says material is real, the more you have, the more you get, the more you have. This kind of thinking is the opposite of sharing. It's taking. It's the opposite of sharing. The Course is going to reverse that thought. But what you take is what you have. Okay? So, should not this be a sufficient miracle to teach you that your teacher is not of you? Yeah. Complete reversal of everything you've been doing up until today. Yeah, that's right. It can't be of you. What's that, saying that your best thinking got you into this trouble? Time for ask for help. Time to ask for help. Yeah. Okay. Yes. But remember also that whenever you listen to his interpretation, the results have brought you joy. Yeah. The peace is so sweet. You do your lesson of the day. If you wonder, how do I hear the Holy Spirit? I don't even know where to start. Just do your lesson for the day. That's the Holy Spirit. It will apply.
And do them in order.
Do them in order. One a day. Yep.
And even if you think you're not getting it, you are.
Nice. That's right. Don't be afraid to go to the next lesson. Don't think you're wasting your time. It's subtly working its way, soaking in. It's your gift to you.
My idea is sometimes just like, I'm spun. What do I need?
Nice. And it'll bring you joy. That's what I do too.
What do I need?
I knew I could get joy by just reading any two pages of this book. I would sit down and I'd please do this, read them out loud. Read them out loud.
I started listening to that and it's so true for me.
Yeah.
You know what happened when I started reading out loud? I get distracted when I was reading it to myself because my ego mind could still be running. I didn't understand why you said to read it out loud, but I just trust you, so I do it. Because you always get me. You know, save me. You've already saved me 100,000 lifetimes. I know it.
So, no, I mean that. I'm like, so anyway, I read it out loud, and it's like I stay with the focus of it, and my ego isn't running its script in the background, and sometimes I get distracted. Mm-hmm. I don't,
You end up speaking full sentences. That's a real improvement over the ego. If you read this out loud, you end up speaking full sentences.
And I could stay with that.
They're powerful. There's wisdom encoded in these words. And there are several levels of enlightenment in each paragraph.
Wisdom encoded.
You can't be expected to have all the levels at the same time. Just take what comes to you where you are. If you stay with it the next year, you'll see. You highlight a different sentence. That's because not the book has changed. You have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, certainly, just go right through it. But it brings me joy. That's why I'm here. I'm here tonight. Because this book has brought me joy. It's brought me peace. It's a wonderful thing to invest in. Okay. Would you prefer the results of your interpretation?
Yes.
The ego? Comma, considering honestly what they have been. You know? Well, God wills you better than what your ego has been promising you and showing you. God wills you better. Could you not look with greater charity on whom God loves with perfect love? We're talking about your brother now.
Your big brother.
All your brothers. All living things. Yeah, so wonderful, wonderful.
Well, I wanted to read one thing. One of my things I really liked before.
Sure, please.
I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's really up in the book. It's like page 28.
That's big. That's like 100% responsibility.
Yeah. Just in case you're wondering what the book's about. Who's responsible? Yeah, right up front.
I'm just reading it so I can learn.
Page 28.
Everything I say is because I need to learn it.
Yeah. But you know, it comes back and it generously describes, you know, what it means by that and how you take a deep breath. You have just commanded your body. May it never command you again. Keep that order straight. We open tonight talking about sharing. What it feels like. We also touch that there are things that we can share that increase when they're shared. Patience, kindness. When you choose to share, which you always do, you can never not be sharing. You're showing yourself what is real for you. You're thereby teaching yourself and those around you. Choose wisely from now on. Share peace. Share confidence. Share trust. Share joy. Share patience. Share tolerance. Share open-mindedness. Share gentleness. And this is what you will have for certain. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Keep coming.
Yeah.
And share
joy. Well,
thank you.
I've heard that so many times. I'm Sean.
Hi, Sean.
You left.
Oh, she's gracious.